So just as every first Sunday of Lent has a temptation narrative from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, so the second Sunday of Lent always has the transfiguration story, again in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. A number of scholars believe that this is simply a kind of resurrection appearance that's been retrojected back into the historical life of Jesus, but it doesn't make a great deal of difference because it's the context that's important. If you read what precedes immediately this passage, it's always talk about the passion. He's going to have to die. Have to, in the sense that he will choose to die for his own integrity. And in the Gospel of Luke, you have Jesus talking to Moses and Elijah about precisely his passion. So what we're dealing with is the resurrection, but the resurrection seen only and understandable only in the context of Jesus' life and his martyrdom, his death for who he was, for what he believed, for how he behaved, for what he taught. And so it's really crucial because we frequently cut this up into little pieces and have the resurrection as some great moment of glory, quite apart from the career of this man, which of course makes no sense at all. Why did Jesus die? Because he told the truth all the time. Because the clarity of his vision of human life and human possibility. And so the resurrection is absolutely inseparable from the passion. And both of them are inseparable from this magnificent passage from Paul. What's Jesus all about? Jesus is all about bringing us human beings together. When Paul writes, "Who can separate us from the love of God?" He's not talking about some individual pious ascension to glory. You know, he's talking about us human beings being transformed into a genuine community. The love of God is not simply poured into each individual soul like so many solipsistic units, but precisely to bring us together. That's what the resurrection is all about. That's what the whole career of Jesus is all about. Unless we understand in an instrumental way, Jesus' life, Jesus' effort to convince us human beings that we really do belong to each other and with each other, we miss the whole point. And so when Paul talked about the love of God being poured into us, it means us breaking open our heart to make room for everybody else. But then this famous passage of Abraham and Isaac, much beloved of the Jews, this great test of faith. What's that about? And how can that possibly fit into what I've been trying to say about Jesus? Well, look at us human beings. 35 official wars going on the planet at this moment. Look at supper tables, look at classrooms, look at factories, look at offices, and see how well we human beings manage to do with each other. I think the test of faith is precisely directed to that. How can we so disparate, so fearful, so cowardly, so smug, so complacent human beings really come together to genuinely love each other? I think that's the test of faith that we experience. And the resurrection, of course, is not just a promise of Jesus' glorification, but the promise that God will, in fact, have the last word. That God will transform us, as the great Gerard Manley Hopkins, a poor pot shirred into an immortal diamond. A diamond that lives with everybody else, for everybody else. The cross, therefore, lies squarely in the passage from where we are to where we're called to be. And that, of course, is what Lent is supposed to be, to make us more aware of the costliness of the transformation that God calls us to.